Kalavivada Sutra, we started with the Kalavivada Sutra. I invite every I happy to accept everyone participating in the discussion. Thanks to Chandratana Hamadru to lead it. And last time we did it with the Kalavivada Sutra introduction. Kuto Pahuta Kalavivada. So we can go to the third stanza.
Swami Nansa, we have done Kalahavivada Sutta. How many verses?
Yeah,
Two stanzas.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure we have done. So we have to, that is the introduction. And then according to the second stanza, the third question, second question starts. We can start from there.
Okay, the third question is like, the verse going like this. Piyasu lokasmin kuto nidana, ye chapi lobha vicharanti loki. Asacha nithacha kuto nidana, ye samparaya narasso honti. So the question, that's the third verse where the question is formed. From what do pleasing things in the world originate? And those whose states of greed that spread through the world, from what do longing and fulfillment originate, which a person has about the future? Then the answer is going like this. Chanda nidanayini piyani loke, ye chapi lobha vicharanti loke. Asacha nithacha ito nidana, ye samparayaya narasso honti. Pleasing things in the world originate from desire, as do those states of greed that spread through the world. From this originate the longing and fulfillment that a person has about the future.
That means that some parts project in future, some parts reminding about the past, and throughout there's a trend, the desire. So desire take different shades of meaning as far as the desirable things are concerned. It is basically on the past. We have our scripts in our mind. These are the good, these are the bad, these are the desirable, these are undesirable, these are liking, these are disliking. We never question it because we take them as we have taken to grant. And therefore, we never question it. Accordingly, we measure. Whenever something becomes successful, then we have future projection and miserliness and all the kind of thing. Then we taken that into the future. Then asacha nithacha. We have some desirable objectives, aims, and desirable things to achieve like Nibbana and going to the heaven and living a holistic life, or have money, sex, and other gains, or anything. This is about the future. Very exciting. And that is also never been questioned. Then that makes our future life. So therefore, as far as we are living in the present moment, we are not nourishing what are the scriptures in our mind. We are not nourishing future planning and projection and excitement. So therefore, present moment is very dull. Present moment is very limitless. And it is not confined to my achievement and my losses. They become dhammata. So then it becomes irrelevant. Therefore, people or individual get lost in the present moment. So for a quick moment, we can be there. We can be either aware of it or not aware of it. Aware of it, we call mindfulness. Even unaware, these things are happening, but split second, no problem. But when damage starts, whenever the present moment continues, for that, we need effort. We need future preparation. We need diligence, vigilance, and prepared mind. So that is the prime duty of the Buddha, teaching us the preparedness. Not that interruption of mindfulness, or not that interruption of the being in the present moment, and not that the awareness of the present moment. Being aware or not, we are mostly in the present moment. So whenever you try to be aware, that means mindfully walking, sitting, and day-to-day affairs, you find after a certain amount of investment of time, you can. And at the beginning, it is happy like very, very rare, very, very circumstantial. But later, you find it is the most abundant thing. It's pervading. Unmindful situations are the points where remind me you are not mindful. So that means he's a very advanced person. He knows I am generally mindful. Human beings, everyone is like that. But now I have verified it. But occasionally there are some unmindful or unrational things to the social norms or into the individual likings and disliking. That reminds me the mindfulness. So likewise, when going there, after, with the mindfulness also, we have the past and the future. That is in revelation, that is revealing with respect to the past and future, how much we can understand unmindful my world and unmindful outside world. And then we can relate it to the my internal my mindful world and external mindful world. So these things are relative. So therefore, even in the desire, it has chronologically past, present and the future. And even if you become mindful, that chronological order remains. But it is much more refined, much more less and less transgressional, but you can still understand, and that time-wise or chronological order in the mindfulness, rather we can explain in deductive knowledges, rational knowledges. But the pure present moment mindfulness, it is not diversified, it is not pervading, it is very crispy in the present moment. But in the inferential knowledge, in the rational knowledge, in the vipassana knowledge, fairly we can share with others. We can compare it with the past and the future, but not with aggressive way, very within a very short period, within a very short range, short wave energy light. So that is how we can have a discussion. Otherwise, there is no room for a discussion. But I hope we are communicating. Therefore, we have to understand desire is very important to understand. Desire is very important to go to hell also. Desire is very important to accumulate unskillful thing. And that very desire is the most skillful thing if you understand it. So therefore, don't hate desire. You have to evolve. You have to let the desire to evolve, not to expect that to happen in overnight. So therefore, pya, asa, nitha, lobaha. These are the words used in the Pali Canon. But Bhikkhu Bodhi and others, they have tried to give other shades of meaning. But it has a kind of a chronological meaning also. Can Venerable Chandaratana repeat the English translation, please?
Yes, Swaminathan. So translation going like for the answer: pleasing things in the world originate from desire, as do those states of greed that spread through the world. From this originate the longing and fulfillment that a person has about the future.
So you can understand the pleasing things, that is the due to the desire. But when it becomes greedy, it is spreading. It has that spreading quality, or that proliferating quality, or the storytelling quality, fabricating quality, that is very well documented in the quantum physics. how this fabrication and storytelling taken you for a ride. That come under the, according to this translation, as the greed. But with that, you have a personal agenda to have longing and fulfillment. And some people take this longing to my family, my monastery, my village, my cult, my religion, like, and then it becomes bhavatanha. And fulfillment also can be basically start with the individual fulfillment and then go to the plural type. So when that happens, it is rather connected with the future. So when you are understanding that you still maintain this past, present, future, like fabrications in the time. So everything happening in the present moment, but if you are not mindful, the present moment is completely destroyed. After destroying present moment only, you can entertain in the past or future, but you try your best. Even entertaining the future or regretting the past, you try to be mindful. Many people don't think it is possible. Yes, it is impossible for the beginner, but later when you are practicing, while you are walking, you can hear the bird sounds. You can feel the other parts of the leg rather than the soles. You can experience thinking. So that kind of diversification, one upon other or side by side, diversification happen, that is invitive, that is welcomed only in vipassana. In samatha, they consider as distractions. They consider as impediments. They consider as something wrong. That is the way of analyzing, way of wisdom separate in samatha and vipassana. So whenever you are doing vipassana, you need samatha balm, samatha healing. When you are using samatha, you must have vipassana electric shock. The Buddha is the one only gave that electric shock. For the samatha yogi or rishis, many consider this as wrong and against the grain according to the, their way up to the samatha achievement. But there were some radical reflection. People with radical reflection, they accepted that spark, that electric shock or shock treatment, and they found only the samatha acute people can comprehend it, because their mind is very cohesive, mind is very coherent, but they don't accept this electric shock. They don't accept shock treatment, because they think it will be destroyed. But no, it is shifting the paradigm. So therefore, when it is going to samatha, when it is going to vipassana, you have to understand, rather than telling a vipassana meditation center or samatha meditation center, there are no such things. It is momentary. It is everywhere it is there, but it is happening according to the paticca samuppada or dependent origination. So therefore, when you are talking, when you are interpreting, when you are commenting on others, you have to understand you are talking with some stand. You are talking with some values. That values, others can understand, you can't if you are not mindful. But even if you are mindful, you have to be very humble. You have to be very open-minded to understand, I too talk with this, the blinkers or scripts. So that is the point where the dialogue is very important, the discussion is very important. We must point out others with the invitation. If you happen to find something wrong with me, please let me know. That very innocence, that very acceptance itself is enough. Leave aside the Nibbana. That very thing we do in our group meditation, because we respect each other. We respect others' views in order to refine ourselves. So that is what I thought of sharing with pertaining to this particular stanza. If anyone is happy to comment, I invite.
Then we are moving to the next verse, Swaminhansa.
Yeah.
So after given the answer about desire, then next question comes asking about the desire. Chandonu lokasmin kuto nidana nidano vinichaya vapi kuto pahuta kodo mosa vajjancha katham kathacha yevapi dhamma samaneena vutta. English translation: from what in the world does desire originate, and from what do judgments to arise? And anger, false speech, and perplexity, and those other things the ascetic has mentioned. Then the answer goes like this: Satang asatanti yamahu loke tamupanissaya pahoti chandu rupesu disva vibhavang bhavancha vinichayang kurute jantu loke. Desire originates based on what they say is pleasant or unpleasant in the world. Having seen the vanishing and coming to be of forms, a person forms a judgment in the world. So basically, what I understand is basically this pleasant and unpleasant feelings are the cause of originating the desire. So Buddha answers like that. On the other hand, Vedana Paccaya Tanha.
Sometimes Tanha Paccaya Vedana. But always Vedana Paccaya Tanha. Vedana happens, you feel according to your desire. Not the desire leading to this thing. So this reciprocal situation is completely obscured in our linear education system. Linear education system is, it is chronologically going in a chronological order, linear system. But the reciprocal system, each mother become a child of her own child. Without a child, you are never called mother. We call mother party rate the child. But at the same times, the child make the woman a mother. So that difference, usually world never understand. World understand only the mother can give birth to the child. But if you are not giving a birth to a child, you are not never called mother. So likewise, everything you created out of the feeling or perception, whatever may be, which one come first, is completely obscure. And before that, liking and disliking, how does it come to the mindfulness level? Mindfulness is defined as choiceless awareness. So that is done by basically Ken Wilber, introduced in the No Boundary. So that was the greatest way of thinking for my traditional Sri Lankan thinking, happened in Nilambe. So I repeatedly see how the likings and disliking happens. In simply put, if you draw a straight line with the ruler and the pencil on the paper, you can see it is directed to infinity. Imagine if it is curvy, then you have the inside outside. If the curvature is sharp, sometimes it can make a circle, and within the circle in, outside. Don't think about that such a sharp curvature, just to see arch. And there you can see arch is more colorful. It is more aesthetic than the straight line. Straight line, infinity. Arch, somewhere else, it is again meeting the same thing based upon its own axis. That is, whenever a straight line become arch, it create a project and axis, lakshaya, the point, and what upon that, it rotates. It is the same thing creating the spot, the axis, and upon that, it get bent to that, and if it is consistently maintaining, we call a circle. Always not consistent. So that is how straight line, when it become bent, it is aesthetic, it is poetic, it is beautiful. And without knowing, you are creating a spot, not in infinity, shorter than infinity. Therefore, it is cyclically patterned. And if curvature is very sharp, you can see the cycle, you can see the middle spot. And that is how the desire and the hatred happens. They are very short, very sharp, very cheating, very perverted, and some others can see. But imagine a slightly arch thing in compared with the straight line. You can see this diagram in the Ken Wilber's book. And whenever something become bent, something become not straight, it projecting its own axis. We call lakshaya. I don't know how it is in the geometry, in the English terminology. And upon that, it is rotating and come back to the same. Even if it is beautiful, even if it is aesthetic, even if it is poetic, it is coming to the same point. But it's a straight line, no desire, choiceless. Then it is going to the infinity. If at all axis is there, axis is also the infinity. But very boring, very direct, very dry. That's called, which is called bare attention, dry insight meditation. So introduction of that, teaching of that kind of a thing, very difficult. Upanishad used to say, you are just eating white bread without anything to sandwich. So very difficult. That's why we are making this cooking and make that carbohydrate dressed and cooked, make it palatable. And that is what make you sick. That's why leading that to the aggravation of your earth element, air element, like the condiments. So likewise, this the terms the Buddha is using for this desire, chanda nidanani pihachi loke. No, there's another term. Yechapi loke yevapi loke vicharanti yevapi lobo vicharanti loke asacha nittacha ito nidana ye samparaya narastha hoti. That means our likings and dislikes, our choice. So we call choices our will, our power. Our willpower is we have a lot of things, we have a choice. But the Buddha says this will, this volition is sankhara, sabbe sankhara dukkha. Whatever the volition, whatever the desire, holistically it is for suffering. But what does it mean by today the independence, sovereignty? We are asking authority to play fool. We are asking authority to destroy the nature. That is what we call the independence. So therefore, those who are expecting that kind of worldly independence, whenever they get it, they try destroying the mother nature. That is what you call the lobha. Therefore, even without that, without that, the sustenance is there. Sustainability is there. So nowadays, whole UN is talking about the sustainable development, not the development. But by now, how much we have destroyed the future generation to have this kind of a development, so-called. We destroyed everything. We are in a very bad trend. We can't stop it. And we call this is the Western development, it's the Eastern development, this is sustainable development, this is not sustainable development. The so-called development is a destruction. Nothing, no any other definition necessary. just being, bear attention. Satimatraya is complained as doing nothing. Definition is correct, but difficult to do. So therefore, anyone is having any kind of a sankhara or any kind of a volitional activity, chanda nidanani piyani loke. Chanda, that we have our motivation. All the motivations are just to make myself out. I am separate. I am specific. I am superior. Or whatever may be. So for that only chanda. So therefore, imagine a blade of grass living in the lawn. It has no chanda. It uses the sunlight and the water and the nutrients and everything. It produces, it proliferates, it adjusts according to the environment. Everything happens. That's no chanda. So that is why we call non-living things. But they have a behavior. Leave aside the blade of grass, see a grain of sand. It has its own behavior. It's a completely different from I myself. So therefore, when can one understand being myself, being motivated, the main mistake of our career is that very motivation. So it is never discussed unless otherwise you become very advanced yogi. At the beginning, you are definitely motivated by religion. But the only religion on the earth is the not to motivate when you come to the highest grade or just to give in up is the Nibbana, what prescribed in the Buddhism. Very difficult for the beginner yogis or non-mindful yogis. So therefore, they are hesitant to call the Buddhism as a religion. It is very difficult to put into that category. Your religion is leading you to the God, Supramande. So therefore, it is a lenient. But this one, self-destructive. When you go to the last 10, as far as you have sankhara, you have avidya. As far as you have volitional practice or will or creativity, it is due to avidya and leading to your selfish consciousness. So that is what explained, and that is well taken and explained in Nibbana the Still sermons. I can't give the particular page number, and very well explain. If someone is interested in, you can read, and Concept and Reality also talking about that, Magic of the Mind also reading that. All these are presented to us by Venerable Jnanananda. So we had a 1 hour single medium discussion, the almost the same topic. So this hour also we are in the same. So wish to listen other voices also, so that I am ready to open the discussion.
Yeah, there is a comment, Tamin Hansa, from here.
Yes, I had two comments on something. Yes, so as regarding dry white bread that's completely free of condiments, what I learned from my own experience was that it's usually a balanced diet that gives rise to good health, because in my youth I was a very picky eater, and so I ate mostly just kind of carbs like white bread and noodles and rice and maybe some meat, but I didn't like vegetables very much and those things, and it actually led to some health problems. And it was only when I kind of changed those things and started eating more balanced that they kind of went away. So I'd still be cautious with eating only white bread. And also, Bhante, I like what you said about...
Can Jandratana Hamduro give me the briefing about? Because some words I can't clearly understand.
Yeah, basically he's explaining now, Bhante has mentioned that dry vipassana as eating just white bread. So he is mentioning that during his youthhood, so he used to just eat without vegetables and any other supplements, and he got some health issues. But later he started to get a balanced diet, and that is what he is trying to mention.
Yes, if I eat too much just plain carbs or meat and not enough condiments, then certain things would happen. But it's true that also if you have only condiments and no kind of dryness, no boredom, then you will also get upset because it's too mixed and too flavorful. So I was just commenting that I think we need to work out balances for ourselves in our nutrition, and mental and physical. Also, Bhante, I had a comment on what you were saying with the curved lines and the straight lines, because I liked that analogy. And it made me reflect that it's interesting that the symbol of the Dhamma, the Dhammacakka, is actually a wheel, so it is a circle made up of eight spokes, eight straight lines. And so it seems like we're making use of that that straightness, that limitless kind of boring infinitude, but within a kind of curved protection of the Noble Eightfold Path. And so it makes use of both this kind of aesthetic and pleasing kind of what you could say, like a border, something to keep us on the path. But at the same time, we have to bring together all these qualities and completely straighten them out to lead us beyond, like you were saying, Bhante. And I think it's nice that the Dhamma has such a way of bringing everything together like that, of having these very kind of healthy sandwiches and also very kind of noble symbols that make use of the best of both worlds. So thank you, Bhante, for bringing those up, because they gave rise to good reflection. I'd also like to end with one question, Bhante. You were saying how we need to make use of these samatha and vipassana, and given that we were talking about chanda at that time, I was wondering, Bhante, how one knows when is the right time to kind of make these turns of the mind, sometimes towards the stilling and sometimes towards the electric shock. So if Bhante could elaborate a little bit.
Yeah, as far as you are there, as far as I is there, there's a time specification and the space specification. Let the meditation to flow. Let the meditation to guide you. Don't fork fingers. It happens just like the seasons are changing. There's no one is monitoring. So if you wish to be heated in the cold treatment, cold season, then only the problem. So human beings, they have adjustability. But instead, they wanted to adjust the climate. And then what happened? So exactly, meditation knows, Openaika is the character, it knows when to go to samatha and when to go to vipassana, or when to go to the electric shock or shock treatment, or just go to the peaceful one-pointedness. So you have to understand, don't give a bias guidance, just let it happen. That is dhammata. So they are changing each other like the left brain and the right brain. But many people, they do not know at least two available, either hate one and like others. But in meditation, what you hate, one time you have to like, likings. So that changing is the only thing, other than labeling bad is bad and the good is good. Liking is liking and dislike is dislike. So if you are not meditating, if you are not mindful, that is what happens. So therefore, you have to keep rapport, keep dialogue with the fellow meditators. So sometimes they may be helpful. You are biased. You are to that side. And sometimes morning meditation and the evening meditation, good meditation and the bad meditation, before walking and after walking. Likewise, you have to compare it, and then it comes to the proper balance. I heard in my life another person, he is depending only on bread. That whole family is laughing at him. Palm butter. He is talking only. He never eat any rice. That when there is no bread, there was a time in Sri Lanka, no bread. He was in utter difficulties. I don't know whether he's drinking only bread without any sambal or something like that. But your statement is that you are eating only bread. So that is the only suvipassana. You are not happy to give any sandwich. But samatha vipassana both indicates our stomach, our mouth, our teeth, saliva, everything is going for both. So therefore, Pandita Sayadaw is promoting, of course, white bread. He says sukha vipassana is something like that. So therefore, very little people attracted to that meditation. And Pauk Sayadaw officially mentioned to me, he also explained in his early effort as a teacher to go for dhatu manasikara, four elements. Then he takes very little people in the meditation center. Then he started samatha, it multiplied in hundreds. Ultimately, he himself is attracted to samatha. Everyone labeled him as samatha. You see, he is a very good Mahasi disciple. And he found very little people come. So he went by the number of the disciples. And disciples also labeled him accordingly as samatha teacher. So Mahasi said, knowingly, he never promoted vipassana, samatha. He tried to maintain pure vipassana, dry vipassana. And whenever Jnana Ponika, getting the first-hand experience, plugged-in experience and the nutriments from Mahasi Sayadaw, you can see practical insight meditation and power of mindfulness. He put a fairly distance observation on the how to change from samatha and vipassana. And Venerable Jnanarama is the only person lived on the earth, wrote a book on samatha vipassana bhavana margi. Everyone is biased, either samatha or either vipassana. But when I was in Panditarama, it was shocking for my colleagues to understand Venerable Jnanarama is teaching both. And they can't believe both are being taught in single meditation center. So much people are being conditioned by the meditation masters. Samatha people hate vipassana, vipassana hate samatha, therefore have something to sandwich your white bread.
Actually, there's another comment, Bante. Now, you have mentioned that that one has to adjust one's meditation, so that is properly reflected even at the Bojjhanga levels. Buddha mentioned in the Aggi Sutta, the mindfulness has to be always there. So mindfulness is the one observing the situation, and accordingly it will tell us to where or to which side we are biased, and accordingly either we have to improve the samatha side, that is the, say, passaddi, samadhi and upekha, where the tranquility, concentration or the collectedness and the equanimity has to be improved or it has to be decreased. On the other hand, the other side, that is dhamma vichaya, viriya, and piti, where the investigation, effort and the rapture has to be either improved or reduced. So basically mindfulness, therefore Buddha mentioned, has to be available throughout the process. So it is the one showing us what has to be done. So yeah, that is something I felt. Yeah,
that is a good timely observation. And there are also the power of mindfulness. In the first, within two pages, first two pages in introduction, in the Jnana Ponika says, Satikko aham bhikkave sabbatikam vadami. And he translated, O monks, I prescribe sati for any place, where all the places we prescribe sati. Now we are in Satipasala, we have that question. By just giving mindfulness, is everyone is better off? Still not. Still, they should have sampajanya. That means kind of a theory understanding, kind of a deductive understanding in order to support the mind. Mindfulness gives the open ground. Mindfulness gives the space. Or mindfulness gives the peace of the country for the development. So the, when the development happens, development projects, they have their own skills. So therefore, which one is the most immediate or essential, either clear comprehension, radical reflection, theory knowledge, and what are the outcomes? So I will put, simply put, I would say sati has to join, go in hand with the sampajanya. Then outcome is compassion at the loving kindness. But the world is recommending me give mindfulness the support of compassion and the loving kindness. I hesitate. I would say sati has to go hand in hand with the sampajanya, then the loving kindness and the compassion will come. But the particular sutta, Venerable Achan Brahm, is recommending sati mato sadabaddo satima sukamedeti. But the yakka is telling, it is dealing with sati is dealing with hatred. Buddha says sati never tackle hatred. For that you have to have metta. You have to have karuna, the loving kindness and the compassion, sometimes Buddha anusati. So that is a kind of a point, place where the Buddha directly explain it, and Venerable Achan Brahm is taking mindfulness is not enough, kindfulness is the answer. So I don't agree with him. So therefore, if you are leading and dealing with mindfulness together with clear comprehension or sati sampajanya, this kind of neglecting of hatred will never happen. And I would rather say mindfulness itself is a hatred. Whenever you develop mindful, the bare attention, you develop, you hate sounds. You hate other disturbing people. You hate thoughts. You hate pain because of your mindfulness. So if you will understand it, I am irritated of the sound, thoughts and the pain because of mindfulness, then you will in a clear comprehension. So that part, now I am thinking how to put this into a school subject, mindfulness as a subject, how to explain this in the grade 1 to 6, from 6 to 10 and 11, 12, 13. How, whenever we introduce mindfulness as a bare attention or sati matre, and what must be the next. So this is the place where the diversification of the mindfulness and the progress of mindfulness become the challenge for the teachers. And we have to scrutinize the Tipitaka, and we have to reflect back upon our own experience and trial and error method. Slowly, slowly, we have to understand what must go hand in hand with the already developed mindfulness and what is the outcome. Accordingly, I think we will be put Buddhism into practice. There's in a practical utilization.
There's another comment from this side, Swami Nahansa.
Yeah.
Avasarai Bhante, this is yes. Sudhu Hamudro from America. And, you know, very nice comments from Bhante Sudhira and Bhante Chandaratana and you as well, Bhante. I just wanted to say something real quick about what we've been saying. Essentially, you know, it's mainly just about being wise. You know, we were talking about tamata and vipassana, balancing the two. And it's kind of like, you know, just in general, being wise, like, you know, maybe you do some, like my teacher from Lay Life, Bhante Rahula, he used to teach yoga before meditation. So, you know, you might you know, it's like thinking about why are you doing the yoga? You're doing it for physical health. You're not doing it because you want to live forever. You're just doing it to help you with your posture, maybe. And it's kind of like, you know, some Buddhists are like completely opposed to yoga. Some are like way into yoga, you know, and some people are way into samatha and completely anti-vipassana. Some are way into vipassana, completely anti-samatha. And just, you know, being wise and learning how to like wisely balance everything. And I can see the wisdom in not sitting there for like 5 hours, like getting frustrated if you can't like get really good samatha, you know, and just understanding that maybe the good samatha will come on another day, you know. But at the same time, you know, you want samatha to help you overcome the five hindrances so that you can gain vipassana or insight. It's just, as we've all been saying, it's about just wisely balancing these things. Yeah. So, yeah.
You are more parallel with Achan Cha. He's talking about mindfulness. We never see two branches, like samatha and vipassana. So Achan Cha, they will recognize samatha and vipassana. So in Satipatthana, we just taking his word into grant, he says we just give sati and see how it is working so far, so good. But there are some authoritative bodies going to say even you are some mindful, they are self-centered. They are not emotionally literal. About the others. So therefore, we have to introduce emotional literacy, compassion, empathy, and kind of thing. That I hesitant. I would say, instead of specializing on the kind of thing, if someone is asking the sensitive kind of thing, you can do the task emotionally balanced because of the clear comprehension. So that part, the Achan Cha never develop into, but it is enough space to develop. But when Jnanaponika is talking as a subtopic within his book, non-coerciveness, clear comprehension kind of thing. That part, Bhikkhu Bodhi never accepted. Bhikkhu Bodhi criticized it. And he never come out with an answer. But some English writers as well as England, UK government or parliament recommended, please teach compassion together with mindfulness. And then Bhikkhu Bodhi sent me that article telling, because in this article it mentioned Bhikkhu Bodhi rejected or rather criticized Venerable Jnanaponika's bare attention. Then I told, still I am with Venerable Jnanaponika and we just give mindfulness wherever necessary. We give clear comprehension rather than compassion. The knowing compassion is the outcome. So therefore, we have to often read the articles, research article, and get the Western experience as well as the our own experience and the Eastern experience. And some people take mindfulness together with Nibbana, some people not. So early part of our discussion, we had another, not the power cut, coming to the power. So I was telling that still I am happy with Venerable Jnanaponika. And go with the bare mindfulness or bear attention and my sati matre, and when they are, if the people are life skill, if they are born with life skill, they will not create any friction with the egotistic and non-compassion. If at all there are some children or teachers or mindful trainers with lack of a little bit of lacking life skill, that we have to teach them life skill in terms of clear comprehension. That was what I wanted to explain.
Avasarai-san, Hansi?
Yeah.
Yes, a comment onto what you've just said and been speaking about. in that the sort of positive emotions of metta and karuna, how they come from sati sampajanya. And I agree. I think sampajanya being the kind of wisdom faculty and sati just being that awareness, it's the kind of wisdom that gives rise to these positive emotions. And it reminds me of something that one thing by Katrukuni Nyanananda Bhante, he said that metta comes from basically knowing that beings, the basic acknowledgement that beings suffer and want to be happy. And that's a sort of a wisdom, actually. And it also reminds me of something that Venerable Denmark Nyanadipa Bhante said when he was asked about what is compassion. He said, the first thing is, the most important thing is to understand suffering. When one understands suffering, one knows that there's no being that is not in need of compassion. And I think that was a very kind of beautiful quote. And it shows that even these kind of emotionally literate qualities of loving kindness and goodness, although in the Dhamma they are things that are encouraged to be consciously developed, they do, as you say, come from the kind of bare awareness and wisdom and recognition of our situation in samsara. And so it does have to come from this mindfulness and clear comprehension. And so if you are teaching those, Bhante, then I think the other things will come along as well. So sadhu.
So I think we have to wind up also. Now we have coming closer to the Pindapatha. So I think we have lost Bhante altogether. So I think we have spent almost 1 hour spending some time on Kalahavivada Sutta and then discussing certain other aspects of mindfulness and compassion and how one can integrate these qualities in one's practice, and whether they are happening or automatically when one develops the practice. So these things are very interesting, and we can encourage further exploration on these things. And so we have spent this time discussing this Dhamma, and whatever the accumulated merits, we'll share with all the celestial beings, we share with all the other past away relatives and whoever in need of merits. So we'll share the merits while reciting the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambataṃ puṇya sampadaṃ.